means you don't have to answer out loud. And the question is, are you, whoever your name is, you can put that in there, on a crooked or a straight path? Now, in the book of Acts, if you recall, Barnabas and Saul, who was shortly to become the Apostle Paul, were sent to the island of Cyprus where they were preaching the gospel message, and they met a little bit of resistance there, as they always did, and when they ran into a false prophet, his name was Bar-Jesus, and we're going to pick up the story in Acts 13, if you will turn there, Acts 13 and verse 6. And you have to forgive me as I go through some of the Greek names. I'm not very good at it. But Acts 13, verse 6, we're starting there. It says, when they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a magician, a Jewish false prophet, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the Roman consul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. So he was a very powerful position, but he was also very educated. And this man summoned Barnabas and Saul, and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Now, we don't want him to hear that. Certainly not. It says, but Paul, who was also known as Saul, who was also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit and fixed his gaze on him, the false prophet, and said, you who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time. And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeing those who would lead him by the hand. So he was about to learn a very powerful and profound lesson here. Now, let's go back to the book of Ecclesiastes. A lot of wisdom there, and Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 15. Now, what stood out to me in what we just read there in Acts 13:10 was a statement Paul made to the false prophet. He says, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? And here in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 15, King Solomon states, what is crooked cannot be made straight. What is not there cannot be counted. And I think the King James ends that phrase with, what is lacking cannot be numbered. Now today we're going to look at the subject of crookedness and straightness as it applies to us in our Christian journey. And perhaps it is the same for, you know, all nations and cultures, but seems like the modern day descendants of Israel seem to exhibit a especially high degree of idealism and perfectionism. And you know, these aren't bad traits, because God does require us to strive to be perfect in our obedience to Him as much as we possibly can, to devote our lives totally to Him, and to live according to His laws and judgments. Now, sometimes, though, we can create a little stress for ourselves when we have expectations of perfection, because, as Solomon teaches, you know, our world and we are not perfect. He says, what is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. And God has blessed the descendants of Israel tremendously. And with those blessings comes the ability to overcome many obstacles that they have before them. Now, there are aspects of our surroundings that are simply broken words, you know, things that cannot be unsaid. You know, in other words, you can't put it back in your mouth if you say something you're sorry about. Deeds that can't be undone, and crookedness cannot be straightened. This self-evident truth there in Ecclesiastes 1:15 that we just read is connected to the previous verse, which speaks of all the works that are under the sun, a very common phrase that Solomon used throughout Ecclesiastes, which gives verse 15 its context. You know, in other words, all the works of man, everything in this cosmos, the world apart from God, include a crookedness that cannot be rectified. In fact, the number of things lacking in all of man's works is so great, to be uncountable. They cannot be numbered, just as God said. By way of definition, you know, the Hebrew word translated crooked is havath at Strong's 5791, and it's only used less than a dozen times in the rest of the whole of the Old Testament. It's not a very commonly used word. Now, the basic meaning of that word havath is means to wrest, which means to forcibly pull something from a person's grasp. In other words, you reach out, you grab, and you twist it away from them. You obtain it by wrenching with violent, twisting movements. Now, in essence, you know, it is the assertion of one person's will against another person's will. And in other words, you're exerting yourself against your neighbor, somebody else that you should not be. And most of the time, the result is damage that can't truly be repaired. Like I said, a word or a deed, once done or spoken, is very difficult to make straight again. Now, let's turn to the book of Job, and we're going to look at a couple of examples where this word havath is used in a different way. In Job 8, this word is linked with the perversion of justice. Job 8, verse 3 says, "Does God pervert justice? Does the Almighty pervert what is right?" And then in Job 34, if you would turn there, Job 34 and verse 12, it says, "Truly, God doesn't practice wickedness, and the Almighty doesn't pervert justice." So let's go back to the book of Psalms, and we're going to look at Psalms 119. I think that's the longest psalm in the Bible. It's a very lengthy one. Psalm 119, and we're going to look at verse 78. Now, here that word havath can mean wronging someone or dealing perversely with someone. Psalm 119, verse 78. Says, "May the arrogant become ashamed, because they have subverted me with deceit. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts," talking of God. Now, Psalm 146, in verse 9, if you'd like to turn there, I'm going to read it, but if you want to follow along, it indicates turning things upside down or upsetting the natural order of things. Psalm 146, verse 9, it says, "The Lord preserves the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down." Now, some versions, some translations actually translate turns upside down as make crooked. So he turns the ways of the wicked crooked. Really, they are crooked. Now, let's turn and look at Lamentations. Just little examples of the use of that word. Lamentations 3 and verse 36. Like I said, very few places in the Old Testament that's even used. Now, it can also refer to subverting someone in his cause and falsifying the scales. Lamentations 3, verse 36. "To subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approves not." And then lastly, let's turn to the book of Amos. Amos 8 and verse 5. Amos 8 and verse 5. They're saying here, "When will the new moon be over, that we may sell again and sell grain, and the Sabbath, that may we offer wheat for sale?" In other words, forget the Sabbath and its requirements or the goodness of keeping God's laws. They're in a hurry. Let's get it over with. It's in our way. It says, "In the Sabbath, that we may offer wheat for sale, that we make an epoth small and a shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances." So they were eager to use deceitfulness. Now, that's another use of that word havath. Now, in Ecclesiastes 1:15 that we just read, Solomon is saying that once the natural order of things has been upset or made crooked by this willfulness, then it's essentially impossible to make those things straight or right again. Now, the order of things can't be equalized, which is what the word translated straight means. Even though you might be able to put a salve on it or something to kind of soothe it a little bit, you can't equalize it or make it straight again. When something has been taken from somebody else, in other words, when you or someone else exerts their will and they assert it on you, or you assert your will on somebody else, it sets things into motion that cannot be equalized. They are made crooked. And a measure of crookedness will always remain with man's works. We know that. No matter how hard he tries, man's works are always going to be crooked. And that's because of human nature and human willfulness. Anywhere we find human actions, we also find disorder and incompleteness. We see irregularity and deficiency, or in a word, crookedness. And not only that, we also discover man's utter inability to truly fix them or fix what is lacking. I don't even want to get started on that. We see that a lot in politics, and it's not just today. It's gotten much worse today. But trust the government. We're here to help you. Well, don't believe that, because they only want to help themselves. They are not going to help you. They just want to exert more crooked control over you. Now let's look at crookedness and sin. When Solomon speaks of crookedness, he's not really specifically speaking of sin. In fact, we're going to see that some crookedness can actually be good. But in general, most of the time, sin and crookedness kind of overlap in many ways, because when one person is selfishly wrenching something from another, whether it's physically or metaphorically, sin is almost always involved. And it is, as we've heard so many times in years past, it is the way of get. It is an act of self-centeredness and selfishness. Now, on a human level, the crookedness in the world, if you think back to it, actually began in the on a human level. Now I'm going to expand on it just a little bit. It began in the Garden of Eden, when Adam upset the order of things by listening to the voice of Eve rather than the voice of God. He made a choice, and that choice introduced crookedness into his relationship with God and man. And what Adam made crooked could not be made straight by any subsequent human action. That took a Savior, brethren, our Savior Jesus Messiah. In fact, the more people there were, the more crooked the world became, until finally God intervened by not just, by only drowning most of mankind, but he also shortened all their lifespans. Instead of living 900 and something years, he dramatically reduced the time that any single person could make things crooked in their lifetime. He gave us, instead of 900 years, he gave us 3 score and 10, that's 70 years, or maybe perhaps 80, and each man, even with that, has plenty of time to make things crooked in his or other people's lives, as you probably noticed if you've lived very long at all. So crookedness began on a human level with Adam, yet it goes back farther, and you know that it does, to another being who was in the garden as well. The crookedness in God's creation began with a crooked being, Satan, whose heart was lifted up, who thought of himself much more highly than he should, which turned to sin and rebellion against God. And after his own heart and will became crooked, Satan began wresting the wills of other angels, in other words, twisting and perverting them, and then those of mankind. And he is the source of crookedness in the cosmos as well as in human nature. Now, what this means is that, even though God has redeemed us through Christ, any place in our lives that the world still holds sway, and it does, it does, I know it does, any area that we allow our human nature to get the upper hand, something will be made crooked. Now, our will assert itself and be let me get a little bit of drink. My throat's a little dry today. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 13. Another aspect of crookedness appears. And let's look at that. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 13. It says, consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked? So that's what I mentioned a while ago, that this is why not all crookedness is sin. When God does it, it's according to his will and purpose. God can also make things crooked, but with him it is always done out of love and genuine concern for his creation. Thus it's not sin. Exerts his will in our lives. Sometimes he wrests things out of our hands and twists the paths of our lives in a different direction according to his will for us, which is actually something, it's very good. I when you pray for God's will every day, and I hope you do, there's nothing better that you can pray for to our Father about, because his will is a perfect will, and we certainly cannot undo what he has done for us, or what he will do for us. Now, he exercises his sovereign authority, and he can turn things upside down. He can upset the natural order of the cosmos and the normal course of events for mankind in general and for individuals. He subverts the cause of anyone he chooses. It's totally up to him. He is God. He's all-powerful. And according to his perfect will, is always according to his will, goodness and what he knows best for mankind and for you personally, brother. Now let's turn to Isaiah 45. And we'll look at it. We'll look at an example of that. You know, many people have a hard time with this aspect of God. Yet he says himself that he creates calamity or misfortune. Isaiah 45 and verse 7 says, I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and I create calamity. I am the Lord. I am the eternal God, the Almighty God, who does all these things. What is calamity, brethren? What is calamity, disaster, or tragedy, if it's not crookedness on a monumental scale? Now, God, think about this. God caused the flood, and he destroyed all of mankind, except for eight people. God removed the hedge from around Jake, Job, and allowed Satan to exert his influence on him, which resulted in tremendous trial or calamity for him. You know, he also devastated the nation of Egypt when he pulled his people out of Egypt. I mean, the firstborn of everything human and animals died. And when his people were obedient after they had left and they entered the promised land, he routed and defeated the armies of those who came against them. But when they were rebellious, he fought against them and he spoiled their efforts. In other words, they didn't meet with success. And eventually, as you know, he sent Israel and Judah into captivity, scattering them so thoroughly that today even most of them don't even know who they are. And if you think about it, a little closer to home, he's also scattered his own church. And I believe because he judged that our course needed to be upset because it wasn't good. And it's still not good in many, many places. The normal course needed to be pulled into a different direction in order for each child of his, for each one of us, to examine our own ways and see what crookedness needs to be straightened out in our personal lives. You know, he tells us we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And, you know, as Solomon rhetorically asked, you know, who can undo what the Creator has willed to occur? You know, only he can, only God can, and only when and how he ordains according to his will. Now, if it seems, you know, like you're having a lot of problems, a lot of trials, every endeavor you have turns sour, and I've felt like that in my life at times, and I'm sure you have too. You just feel like everything and every event is conspiring against you, and nothing's working out. resemble Jesus Christ, we will always encounter things that are crooked. Because the world is crooked. Because Satan is continuing to rule this world and make things crooked. And because God, too, as we just read, can make things crooked, or at least by our human reckoning. Now, the reality is that God's actions, however, are always good. Satan's are not. But God's actions are always good and will always produce good fruit in the end. But that doesn't change the fact that it can also turn our world upside down in a most uncomfortable way, as I'm sure all of you know. And that is before, you know, we add in our own crookedness that we cause ourselves, which seems like you go back and think, oh my gosh, why did I do that? You know, that was such a stupid thing to do. I'm so sorry I did that. I'm so sorry I said that. You know, it's something that we can repent of and change, and that's something that we examine. That's why we examine ourselves throughout the year, not just before Passover, because we always need to be asking, you know, God, show me where I am making mistakes. Show me where I am crooked. Show me where I need to correct myself so I can live according to your will. You know, we don't despair. God can make things crooked, but he can also make things straight. And he is our healer, God. He supplies what is lacking when we cannot. You remember, Christ, in his ministry on earth, he made straight crooked hands and legs. He made people walk that had never walked it before in their life. And he healed people. And he will perform for us as well. But we do have to ask in faith and leave it in his hands according to his will. We don't know what exactly he's doing. We pray for his mercy, but we ask for his will, and we accept that, even if we don't agree with it or don't like it sometimes. And I think we can all say amen to that. But always ask for God's will. You can't go wrong with that. And, you know, speaking of Christ again, consider the resurrections that he performed and the crookedness that he straightened out in them. Brought dead people back to life. You know, ponder the food that he provided to thousands of people that were following. You know, a few loaves of bread and a few fish, and he fed 5,000 to 7,000 people. They were great, grand miracles. And he supplied them with what they were lacking. He will supply us what we're lacking. And Christ, you know, came to make a crooked world straight and to begin setting things right. And he will make everything right when he introduces his kingdom to this world. But he's not going to do it all at once. He didn't do everything at once when he was here on earth. He didn't heal everybody. He didn't bring peace. He didn't do any of that. That's why we are waiting for God's kingdom, and why we pray also every day for that, for his kingdom to come. But he is continuing to work in our lives and in this world. He's working out his will, so his kingdom will arrive, and he will do away with the crookedness of this world. Now, the Father, as you can read in the New Testament, the Father and Son are always working, and they are working for our spiritual benefit, brother. Part of their work is making things straight for the first fruits, which we are, intervening to bring us to a vastly different conclusion from the end that we might have reached on our own. In fact, I mentioned before, I shudder to think what my life would have been like if God had not called me and intervened. I doubt seriously if I would even be alive today. And if I were, I'd probably be in prison someplace. And so, yes, I am very blessed and am very thankful for God's intervention in my life. You know, God at times grants his children favor in the eyes of others when the normal course would be for them to just despise you. I mean, I have to ask on a regular basis for help at work. There are a few managers that just don't really like me. And they don't have, I think it's all about control, because most of those managers there where I work at Walmart are like in their 20s, and they don't like some older guy because take things out of kilter in our lives. And he rests them, or he brings them back into alignment. You know, the psalmist said, power belongs to God. And so it should just be common sense to seek favor with God, because then he is willing to upset the order of things in a way that will help us toward the kingdom, that will keep us on a straight path to his kingdom. He does not make everything perfect all at once, and you know that. And we have to continue to walk with him and walk the walk. He straightens out sections of our road that we cannot straighten, brother. And he does not, but he doesn't take away all the consequences of our dumb actions, our crookedness, nor does he undo all the world's crookedness that might impinge upon us. Like I said before, there are lessons in character that must be learned. And sometimes those lessons come hard. They come with a price. Nevertheless, he straightens enough out that we can continue making spiritual progress and even receive unexpected blessings along the way. Let's turn to Isaiah 40. Let me get another sip of water here. You know, it may seem like everything in this process is out of our hands, and most of it is, in truth. God has much more say in your life than probably what you realize. But there is still something for us to do. Let's notice this messianic prophecy in Isaiah 40. We're going to look at verse 3 and 4, and we're going to refer to this a couple of times here. Isaiah 40, verse 3 and 4. It says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. Now, verse 3 mentions preparing the way, the one that God will be traveling. Make a highway for our God. And this refers to the common practice of monarchs, way back there, didn't have interstates. It was a common practice for monarchs when they were traveling to someplace new. They didn't want, a rough ride, and so they would send a party out ahead of them to make sure that the road was passable and much more comfortable. They would kind of ease the way, and, this crew would open up difficult passages, level out the road a little bit, smooth things out, and just make sure that it was as straight as possible, and make for smooth travel. Now, the Greek historian Diodorus Siculus gave us an example of the march of Semiramis, into Media and Persia that illustrates, this practice of what they did. He states here that in her march to Ecbatana, she came to the Zarcean Mountain, which extending many furlongs and being full of craggy precipices and deep hollows, in other words, it's pretty rough, could not be passed without taking great compass about. Now, that they had to take the long way around. There wasn't any direct route. And she says, therefore, being desirous of leaving an everlasting memorial of herself, as well as shortening the way, she ordered the precipices to be dug down and the hollows to be filled up, and at great expense, she made a shorter and more expeditious road, which to this day is called for her the Road of Semiramis. Afterwards, she went into Persia and all the other countries of Asia subject to her dominion, and wherever she went, she ordered the mountains and the precipices to be leveled and raised causeways in the plain country, and at great expense made ways passable. Now, she probably the only good thing she did in her entire life, but it did help the people back then. Now, let's go back to Isaiah 40, verse 3 and 4 again. Because this that story and this scripture blends into our topic of crookedness. Again, Isaiah 40, verse 3 and 4. It says, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every mountain should be lifted up, and every valley should be lifted up, and every mountain and hill should be made low. The uneven ground should become level, and the rough places 3 and 4 is quoted in reference to John the Baptist, because this was his calling. It was his calling and his job was to prepare the way for the uncrowned king, Jesus the Christ. And he did that by preaching a message of repentance. Now let's turn to the book of Luke. Luke 3. And we're going to look at verse 4 through 6. We're going to look at the New Testament use of this scripture from Isaiah. It says, and it refers back to it, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked places become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Now, at that time, John told the people how to straighten out their lives, to repent, and be prepared when the king arrives. He told the multitudes to bear fruits that indicated true repentance, and advised them to be willing to share their goods with their neighbors. He warned tax collectors to stop being crooked and not to collect any more than was legally required. Quit warping people off. Don't you wish they would do that today? He instructed soldiers to quit being crooked through intimidating people, falsely accusing, and being discontent. Let's look at verse 16 through 18. Now, John didn't actually use the word crooked. His message, in essence, was to equalize, and we've heard that one before, the areas of their lives that were misaligned or crooked. And it says here, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing hook is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff, he will burn with unquenchable fire. And so with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. Now, brother, we too are looking forward to the arrival of the king. And so we are also called to prepare the way within our own lives, not like Semiramis, in order to leave an everlasting memorial to ourselves for any vainglory. Isaiah 40, verse 4 describes this preparation as bringing every valley up and every mountain down to the level of the road. In other words, the crooked places have to be made straight. We're speaking of our lives. The crooked places have to be made straight, and the rough places smooth. However, this prophecy is not saying that the king will not arrive until we are ready, until we get everything perfect. That's not going to happen, and you know we're not become perfect in this life. Brother, the king will arrive at his appointed time. Whether or not we have straightened our crookedness, however, will determine if we face his wrath or his reward when he comes. You know, what's it going to be? It can be very, very good for us, or it could maybe be kind of bad. Now, we cannot straighten the crookedness of this world. That's not our job, even. But through God's power, God's Spirit in us, we can straighten our own paths. Now, God has given us the gift of his word, which will help us to examine and evaluate properly whether something in our lives will make the path crooked or straight. This is just another way of saying, examine yourself, brother. Something, again, we need to continually do. Now, God has given us the example and teachings of the Messiah, his son. He has given us inspired letters, the New Testament, the Old Testament. He's given us the Bible. He's given us laws, statutes, judgments, reflections, proverbs, praise, prophecy, and history. He's given us specifics and principles, all of which can be used to help us to consider our ways, as they say, to consider whether a word or action is wrong, it is sin, or whether we are asserting our will against another and taking advantage of somebody, in other words, not loving our neighbor as ourselves, to consider whether something will make our path to the kingdom more difficult, and to consider whether our attitudes and approaches or activities make someone else's path crooked. We don't want to be a bad influence what is coming, maybe through a glass darkly, but we know. And we know when God's plan is complete, nothing will be crooked. You know, God will wipe away every tear. As he says, not going to be any more death, no more sorrow, no crying. There'll be no more pain, no more sickness and disease. And, you know, to paraphrase Revelation 21:4, it says, you know, the former crookedness will have been straightened out. Those things will be no more. There will be eventually a new heaven and a new earth. And there will be new spiritual bodies. And most importantly, new hearts. And God tells us that he shows us how to be a part of that future, to be in his kingdom. You know, right now, you know, our responsibility is to make our paths as straight as possible. And not just for our sakes, but for the effect that it has on others. So I hope you will examine yourself. We are getting close to Passover, but it's coming up in a few weeks.